Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Truthful Connection, coming to you on this Sunday morning on the airwaves of Marcus Sahaba, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, we have just finished our session on Palestine and we discussed Nabi Dawood and Nabi Sulaiman, and you know the fact that Temple of Solomon, as the Jews refer to it, was built long after Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. So they do not have any right to claim that the Muslims have transgressed by building Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa on the foundation of the Temple of Solomon, because Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa existed long before the Temple of Solomon. It was built by Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, and Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam existed long before Nabi Dawood and Nabi Sulaiman. Now inshallah, we get into our segment called Parliament Talk, and we discuss, you know, the latest political issues in our country with our brother Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, who is the president of the party called Allied Movement for Change, a party although not Islamic but based on the Islamic ethos, and a strong supporter of the Palestinian cause. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh from the mashallah city of Durban, traveling to Cape Town later today. As you know, the elections around the corner and a lot has to be done. But yes, I am here indeed, and jazakallah for having me on the air.
Now, the main issues at stake, you know, that has to be considered in this, the main issues that has to be considered is the economy and unemployment, the energy crisis and infrastructure, crime and corruption. We have immigration issues, and with that, the youth vote. Now, can you, Brother Ahmad Manzoor, you know, enlighten us on how your party plans to deal with all this?
Well, Jazakallah khair for giving me the opportunity on the air this morning. But I think what we cannot run away from is the fact that the country is in dire straits. South Africa is currently sitting with 6 trillion rand in debt. 23 cents on every rand is paid to our debt service cost or interest in the country. And very importantly, as I've told you before, we had 500 billion rand worth of gold reserves, which is now been reduced to 350 billion worth of gold reserves. And that is only to reduce the borrowing, not to stop the borrowing, not to stop borrowing, but to reduce the amount of borrowing. The borrowing is particularly in view to sustain the high levels of the labor administrative costs in the country, the high increases that you get annually on the public sector. Very importantly, it is to sustain the high levels of rather than creating a more productive society. And that is why we as the Allied Movement for Change are very particular about it. Unless there's going to be economic country leading to more stable social security, which means having more jobs created, you know, is going to get progressively worse over the period of time. And that is why we put plans together on how we could boost economic growth, how we can, through the prevention of corruption and crime, particularly on procurement, you can save this country 500 billion rand a year. In order to do that, of course, we said before, we're saying it again, keep politicians. politicians out of appointment and employment of office. Let us keep politicians out of having anything to do with procurement and tenders, because they employ the people that they want to employ from their own organizations. They are in a difficult position to reprimand more in consequence management. But very importantly, if you look at the manufacturing at a downhill, now let's look at motor vehicles. 15,000 components going to motor vehicles assembled in South Africa. But what is important, all those 15,000 components are imported into the country. So how is it benefiting them? Look at all your manufacturing sector. Goods are being imported, having an impact on the economy as a whole because of us not being able to produce. Why we cannot produce? Because of the high cost of doing business, the stringent labor condition. At the same time, I can tell you all foreigners in the country, and yet our labor departments will do very little or nothing about it. So, you know, in terms of economic growth, we also talk about, let's look at the mining sector. I mean, the wealth of this country belongs to the people in this country. Look at our minerals, controlled by a handful of people. And we are calling for, which fortunately ministers acknowledged and said we'll move in that direction, is to at least 50% on the mineral wealth of this country. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said something different so that they could survive. And here we have all the wealth in Africa, but control nothing. So what we are saying is at least let's, the private sector who will mine the minerals and get 50%, we don't have a problem, but let the other 50% benefit the people of this country. And more importantly, let's create a finishing industry with those minerals. As raw material, let's create another finishing industry, which simply means that you'll be creating more jobs. Exactly the same situation as far as the agricultural sector. You know, we are importing wheat and things which we can grow here and export and also ensure there's food security. We talk about let's have another economy, a night economy, in order to reduce the high levels of unemployment. And a night economy, we can in certain areas have informal traders and things, you know, and that again will create small business, small medium enterprises, job opportunities, business opportunities. So that's what we are saying. We are saying you've lost the war. There's no way you're going to deal with the issue of crime unless you get to the grassroots. What is the cause? Remember, no mercy. We need to ask ourselves what's going wrong, where is it going wrong, why is it going wrong, how is it going wrong? And what we are saying is the dysfunctional state of our society. Just look at 78% of some children have no fathers in their home. 91,000 children giving birth to children. So we're saying let's put safety ambassadors with counselors in schools, with social workers deployed in the community. If we do that, we will identify children at a very early stage coming from dysfunctional families, and we'll be able to attend to them and save them from becoming criminals. Police officers must be paid better benefits. You cannot expect them to get 23 rand a day. After 31 years, they got a 10 rand increase, which is ridiculous. And they need to be protected. These criminals have no mercy on our police officers in the country. They need to be better paid. They need to be Asian curriculum so you can attract the right kind of people. On the issue of health, we are saying let's have a preventative healthcare system. We don't need to wait for our people to get sick. Many of our illnesses we are able to pick up at a very early stage, like cancer, diabetes, and things. We know it moves from generation to generation. Why not have a preventative system, roll out proper medical facilities, more human resource in nursing and medical practice, and test them regularly at an early stage? And if you do that, you save our people from getting critically sick, ending up in hospitals. All this vicious cycle only benefits a handful of people who control the entire world through the pharmaceutical industry and others. So we are saying let's actually address that. Let's look at housing. 3 million people, no houses in South Africa at the moment, and increasing. And I don't even think they're including those 3 million people that are on the housing list. They're not including the people on the street. What are we saying? Stops us in every municipality to identify those that don't have home, including single-parent families, and give them their dignity back in order to address the high, unequal society we're living currently. Why not give each one a subdivided piece of land with their title right now? But there's no hurry to give them the water, sanitation, electricity. Give it to them as you've got budgets available. So these are things that can be achievable. And we are not serious about wanting to make a difference. Now you hear political parties attacking, you know, ANC and others about corruption. All of them, wherever they govern, corrupt. The city of Cape Town is one of the top five corrupt cities in the country. If you saw the ISP on Zululand a week ago, 322 million rand written off in terms of, because of corruption, irregular, unauthorized, unlawful, fruitless waste expenditure. So talk about your infrastructure and your water. The emphasis on water delivery is not through your pipe system, which is where you give people dignity. Yeah, the money is being made on water tankers. That is why they won't move from water tankers to a proper system. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that your infrastructure has got to be maintained, and we won't maintain it. So when it breaks down, you supply water tankers. Who own the water tankers? Politicians and officials. The education system, emphasis on quantity. We say, let's go to quality. Let's have the right kind. We had a system previously. The teachers used to be monitored. Educators were monitored. They used to call them teachers then. Inspectors will come and check how they're performing. You understand? It's not happening. And as a result, not attracting the right kind of people. Anybody that doesn't have a job at the moment will take any opportunity given to them. So are we putting the people that are fit for purpose? No. Look at the state of your local government. Just look at it when they did the statistics in KwaZulu-Natal. So many of the senior officials, they can't even read and write. How are you going to deliver to your people if you're not doing it? We need to take politics seriously. It's a way of life. Like Islam is a way of life. And that is why we say we are not a Muslim party. We are a party with Islamic ethos and principles attracting everybody to come together. But we've put a fantastic mechanism in place, my brother. And what is that? We started the process of recruiting and identifying those from the younger generation. We are going to train them. We are going to school them, skill them, and make sure that they are the ones fit, who are fit for purpose to be deployed into the strategic position so that they've got a passion to make a difference in the lives of our people.
And what is
your party's, view on foreign policy?
Well, let me say this very loud and clear. First of all, I think you've seen our stance on Palestine. We were the first party in the world to bring a motion to downgrade the South African embassy. It is as a my contribution and persistence, alhamdulillah, our brothers and sisters from Palestine are able to get visa-free. Very importantly, I'm now working on the issue of refugee status for our Palestinian brothers, because if there's anybody that can give homage or is South Africa to allow them, particularly if you take into consider the role of Palestine in the liberation of South Africa. So yes, that is what the other thing that we actually, if you look at the Russia-Ukraine war, I've been very vocal about it. Why? I believe in what I am saying. All there is an attempt by the West through NATO and others to infiltrate the Russia, and that is why the Russian government has taken the stance it has. Had it not done that, it would also have been at the mercy of the West, like the entire Africa is right now, as South Africa is with the regime change that they are attempting to bring about. If you look at what they're doing in the Western Cape, I can tell you with this exit that they're talking about, it simply means they want an independent state. Where's all these first indigenous people who are the rightful heirs and owners of this land and wealth of this country? Nobody's considering to be them. So in terms of that, I think what we want is very important. We want us to move away from the World Health Organization and have an alternative World Health Organization, because when these institutions fund, structures in your government, in your country, they manipulate them, they control them. So we want to pull out. We don't need the World Health Organization, the World Bank. We don't need the IMF. We need to have an alternative based on Islamic ethos and principles, like if what he's saying is true, President Putin has been saying Islamic financing system. Look at how a difference it will make in the life. Look at the debt our people are all over. Our country itself is in such high debt. So we are saying that we want a more peaceful world where one country does not dominate the other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed every country, if you think about it, with something different that they can share and work and live together happily. But when it is one that wants what is not yours, that is where the problem comes. And that is what is happening. So everything you see is as a result of a handful of people. And I'll make it very clear. With the Zionist state of Israel, you've got the UK, you've got the US, France, Germany. They want absolute control over the world. And unless we all come together, to oppose this, the future looks very bleak. I mean, look at the African continent. All the wealth in the world, you control absolutely nothing. Still the poorest continent. So that is basically as far as the our foreign policies are concerned. And foreigners coming into the country, we don't have a problem with that. But they must come here for a purpose. They must come here because we need their skills. You know, but you can't have them just a free-for-all when people are coming in a country. It impacts on your education. It impacts on your health. It impacts on your roads and infrastructure. You know, talking on infrastructure, we borrow money for infrastructure development. We don't have the capacity to implement it. Go and have a look at the projects most of them are standing. We don't have it. And look at the 40% that gets stolen because you're not getting value for money for middlemen to be made millionaires and multimillionaires, which we produce in a... We are saying that must change. People must be given the job to do, who can do the job at a price that is market-related, not to come and get rich overnight. That is how you created the 17,500 black millionaires and multimillionaires. What have they put back into the economy? Very little or nothing. So these are just some of the things, the allied movement would change. One stood the difference. We've identified these weaknesses and problems. But importantly, we've got solutions to them. So let's concentrate on the solutions, and that is what I find with the political parties, particularly. They don't want to work together. They all want power and control. But everyone is failing the people. If you go to KwaZulu-Natal rural, people are walking 8 kilometers 30 years later for water. Is it acceptable? No.
Now, you just mentioned that each political party is just desirous of power. Now, if we have a coalition government, and if self-interest is going to prevail within any coalition, then the coalition will start on rocky ground. And it's not going to last when we'll have a huge political, then we will have a huge political turmoil at the national level, and this is not good for SA. What's your take on this?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Coalitions have never worked. Coalitions is the order of the day. There is going to be coalition government. The ANC particularly brought it upon themselves in the way the country has deteriorated over the 30 years. And let me be very honest in my observation, being there, they've got no intention of getting away from corruption. Because if you stop corruption overnight, none of these political parties would survive, particularly the larger ones. But very importantly, coalition governments should be based on what is best to serve the people. And that is where we come in again. And I've said to the deputy president in our coalition discussion that we will only work with you guys or anybody on condition no politician has anything to do with procurement and tenders. No politician will decide which municipal manager, which director. Did you notice some of the political parties? They are not asking for the position of mayor and deputy mayor. They want the CFOs. They want the municipal managers and directors because they control all the money, and that's where the corruption is. So if political parties who take a mandate from the people who want to go there and sell their principles and the ethics and the values and the independence to larger parties, then of course it's never going to work, and that is what is happening right now in the country. Now also I want to raise something very important. I know many people are saying no because ANC has taken us to ICJ. Let's ask ourselves the other question. Where was the ANC in the last 30 years when it came to the Muslim community particularly? Have they ever visited every door like they're doing right now? Number two, is this by giving them all the support going to stop them from being corruption when they are arrogant about it? You've heard what Zuma said one day, ANC will govern until Jesus comes home. And the attitude. Now let me ask this very simple question. If you really pro-Palestine, who was there when you needed them most? Why did you, after 5 years, not even make sure that the motion was put forward and proposed in Parliament so that you can adopt it? 2017, they took a motion to downgrade. Had it not been for myself, they would not have done it. Number two, 31 years, people couldn't come, they're Palestinians. Why didn't they do something about it? Why can't they have a targeted approach to boycotting of Israel right now if they want to? They passed a motion recently, which was not their motion. It was EFF to gain space. They brought it and amended it. Why don't they want to do it? They will never do it, I can tell you now. They are not sincere. They gave me a commitment that they will prosecute the South Africans in the Israeli Defense Force that have been bragging about massacres of women, children, and things in Palestine. They were here, and they went back. Why didn't you do anything about it? So they are anywhere. Yes, you've got the warrants of arrest. We know those are countries that got the veto power, will throw it out. You understand? Netanyahu doesn't want to go anywhere. Right now, if you notice, he doesn't even want to leave his home. He's just in his community. Is it benefiting our brothers and sisters in Palestine? In fact, it's gone progressively worse. That is what is happening. So people are being opportunistic. You know, there was a party called the Good Party, which is part of us. Did you know that when it was the time to vote or to debate my motion to downgrade, they did not participate? But 10 seconds later, when the debate was over, the next item was on the order paper, they participated. 1 week later, when we had to vote for it, they did exactly the same thing. Didn't vote. 1 second later, or 10 seconds, the next item, they participated. They did the same thing on the EFF promoted and ANC thing. So people are opportunistic. They're looking, they see here an opportunity to garner votes and support. It's not about the love for the Palestinian people. I'll give you a good example. Which political party in parliament, other than myself, raised the concern of the burning of the masajids and the churches in India? Did the African Christian Democratic Party do it? No. Did the ANC do it? No. Why are they not touching on what is happening to us in India? Why? Because of the relationship that they enjoy India to BRICS and whatever. So people are dishonest. It seems like politics is meant for dishonest people unless we change the kind and caliber of people we put in there.
Now, the people of KZN, or we say Itikweni particularly, are gripped with fear ever since that, you know, court ruling regarding Zuma. Is there any reason for this fear, or people are just becoming panicky for nothing?
Well, you can expect anything. Our state intelligence, our police intelligence is weak. We can't deny that. They don't even have the necessary resources to be able to monitor. Anything can be anticipated. Although the position of Zuma not being going to parliament, I mean, that's a legal issue, and I think it's a correct issue. The law says that if you're sentenced to more than 12 months in prison, you can't. So be it. The law must prevail for everybody. However, I see that they've got a replacement. I don't think that is really going to make him. In fact, I can't see why Zuma would have wanted to go to parliament, because he would have lost all his presidential benefits, which is quite enormous anyway. But be that as it may, yes, the situation can be volatile. There are some threats all over, and I think our people need to be on the alert, high alert, because anything and everything could be done to try and delay this or disrupt this election. At the same time, I'm telling people to be careful, that even if you come from different political parties, a lot of rigging takes place in these elections, which can also give rise to a lot of violence and things. And you've heard it from the very boss's mouth, which is the ANC, former senior people who talks about it. All this can give rise to serious levels of intimidation, harassment, threats and things. So I think we need to be on the lookout. No matter how much the police are going to tell you they're ready, I can tell you they're not ready. They don't have the necessary resources to act. And if you look at the threats, they are in different provinces, KZN, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and others. So I would say be on the alert.
Now, to terminate, let's look at our voting here on the 29th. There is a chance that people can make mistakes. You know, they're crossing the wrong party, they want to cross party A, but mistakenly they went and put the cross on party B. Is there any way to remedy the situation?
Well, if they want to make a good mistake, then they don't support AM4C, they must just put it on the number 2 on the ballot paper that is the AM4C. That is okay. But yes, very importantly, if you make mistakes before you put your ballot paper into the box, if you raise it to the officials, the presiding officers there, they'll give you another ballot paper, and you'll have to scrap that one, make sure it is totally scrapped, because that's where a lot of the corruption comes. I'm hearing complaints about the ink and of the pen that's being used are disappearing. You'll get all kinds of things are happening. So be on the alert. If you can take a pen, would you please do that? Look at it carefully. And make the right mark. But if you made a mistake, before you put it into the ballot box, because once you put it in the ballot box, it's gone. it will be a damaged vote, so you won't be able to do anything, brother.
Okay, Jazakumullah, brother Ahmad Manzoor, for your valuable time this Sunday morning. Inshallah, next Sunday we can analyze what happened on election day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah, my brother. We are number two on the ballot paper. I plead on our brothers and sisters, give us the opportunity, give us the support, and we will hold anybody else accountable in the interest of the ummah and in the interest of the people at large. So, AM4C, Jazakallah, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Brother Ahmad Manzoor, Sheikh Imam, the president of the party Allied Movement for Change.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.